You're listening to Radio Influence.
Flavor, flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. A lot of fun stuff happened this week. We're going to talk a little bit about pop culture, a little bit of politics. We're going to discuss Donald Trump v. the NFL, which is going to get interesting, and it's already interesting. And we'll talk a little bit of politics. We'll talk a little sports as well. I want to congratulate the Washington Capitals for winning the Stanley Cup last night. First time they won it. You know, they beat our Lightning and took us to game. We took them to game seven. And you want to believe that the Lightning were the second best hockey team out there, but you don't know that. You don't really know how matchup go. But the Washington Capitals were clearly the best hockey team this year, and they deserve it. Whether you're an Ovechkin fan or not, you know, you got to give him love for what he's accomplished, and his legacy just changed. So congratulations to the Capitals, and congratulations to the city of Washington, who came out in droves last night and celebrated. I think they celebrated all the way through. So if you're a Capitals fan, congratulations to you as well. A lot of different things happened this week, some unfortunate. As I heard today, Anthony Bourdain committed suicide. You know, it's hard to judge somebody from the outward appearance and what you see on a show. He always seemed so well-adjusted, seemed like a straightforward guy. I wouldn't say you would think he was happy or joyous, but he seemed well-adjusted. And, you know, he commits suicide. Kate Spade committed suicide this week as well. You know, in the fashion world, had a bunch of money, had clothing lines. She was married to David Spade's brother, which doesn't mean much to me, but sold a company for tens of millions of dollars. And for all, you know, from a person looking from the outside, looked like she had things going on. And she commits suicide. So it just makes you wonder what these people are really going through. And when it looks from the outside like everything is taken care of, they must have some serious demons inside. So you really feel for their families. And I haven't heard much about the details on Anthony Bourdain, but I guess Kate Spade, you know, left a note telling her daughter it's not her fault, because, you know, you really feel for the families going through this. You know, you wouldn't want them to go through that, obviously. So there's just been a rash of suicides lately. You know, people hanging themselves from doorknobs. I never heard of that before. So let's hope that rash of suicides, it stops, because it just seems like there's way too many out there. You know, there hasn't been an NFL one in a while, which is good. It just seemed like there was a bunch of those way back when, but it's good to see that you haven't seen an NFL one. There was an NFL death. Dwight Clark, obviously a fantastic wide receiver / tight end for the 49ers back in the heyday. He had the catch way back in the day. I was a Dallas Cowboy fan, so I was not a fan of that catch, but I got a chance to meet Dwight Clark at Eddie DeBartolo's outings, and just a nice dude. Nice guy. So was a hell of a football player, and nice dude as well. And he battled ALS, and there's obviously a correlation between the NFL and ALS. I played with Kevin Turner, a good friend of mine. I played with in Philadelphia. He died not too long ago from ALS, and that's not a fun disease. That's for sure. That's not a great way to go out. Some other crazy stuff happening in the news this week. Miss America pageant comes out and eliminates the swimsuit and the evening wear. And there's no reason for me to watch it anymore. I mean, swimsuits was probably the only reason why I was watching it. I'll watch a pageant. I don't like the premise of the whole thing. And now they're not even calling them pageants. They're calling them competitions. I guess. I don't know if there's a big difference. But now they're saying that the women are going to be all shapes and sizes. Why have it? I mean, you know, I think people that put their kids in pageants early, and I'm not sure that's good for them later on, because you got to be full of yourself if you're going to be up there in front of everybody in a bathing suit and your hair done and you're 8 years old, and I don't know if that's good for kids, but can you picture like Miss America being like plain Jane? I mean, I thought everything as far as pageantry, even competitions, was going to come down to looks. If it doesn't come down to looks, what's it come down to? This personality? So I don't know if that's going to work well. I really don't. But I guess they're trying to clean everything up with the Me Too movement. I guess they think it's sexist to put women out there on a stage with bathing suits, but you know, nobody's begging them to go out there in swimming suits. They're doing it themselves. So, you know, that word sexist likes to get thrown around a lot. I saw a clip of the Philippine president. I don't know his name, but he had a lady up there who was married, and he said, "You should give me a kiss." And the lady says, "Well, I'm married." And he says, "Well, it doesn't matter. Your husband won't mind." So then she gives him a kiss on his lips. So then everybody was complaining, he's sexist. Well, she kissed him on his lips. It's a funny world we live in right now where if you're a person of power, you better stay away from women. Okay, and the thing that scares me is with a lot of this Me Too stuff going on, and listen, Me Too is necessary. And when you talk about scumbags like Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein, like those guys are predators, all right? There's a difference between Harvey Weinstein and Aziz Ansari. Aziz Ansari is just an awkward Indian guy, and Harvey Weinstein was a predator, and Harvey Weinstein was setting up situations to prey on young women, and everybody around him, including some females, were in cahoots with him. So it was completely different. And this Philippine guy is just being a little horn dog, that's all. And then we all got a little horn dog in us. But people like to throw around sexist a lot. People like to throw around racist a lot. Everybody's a racist. Stop it. I mean, everybody wants to eliminate, they want to eliminate the N-word, they want to eliminate that word. It's just a word. We need to eliminate the word racist, because nobody admits they're a racist. Oh, you got me. I'm a racist. That doesn't work that way. But we want to call people racist because they misuse a word or they call somebody Oriental. Come on, that doesn't make you a racist. Come on. And our world is a funny place right now. And, you know, I was watching a video the other day of these cops just completely bludgeoning this cat in Arizona. And I talked about it a little bit on the radio, and I had somebody hit me up on social media, and they said, anybody that doesn't do what the cops say, they get what's coming to them. Well, so we're allowing our cops to play God, though, because just because somebody's on their cell phone, you tell them to get off their cell phone, if they stay on their cell phone, that shouldn't give you the right to pummel the dude. And not just one guy. Five dudes are kneeing the dude in the head and punch him in the head. I mean, if you allow a cop to punch somebody in the head that many times because he won't get off his cell phone, you're giving him too much power. And listen, I'm all for cops. I'm pro-cop. I don't know who would be anti-cop. But you can't give him that much power. And when you look at all the different situations, and unfortunately, most of the cop situations are against African-Americans, unfortunately. I can't think of one situation of a white guy getting beat like that. I'm sure it exists, but I can't think of that video right now. So it's a bad look. And when there's 10 cops in a situation, and go back and watch it, there's between 5 and 10 cops there. Drag the guy down. Get him on the ground. Detain them, then arrest them. But these guys are beating dudes to a liquid in front of everybody. And there's cameras everywhere, so you're not going to get away with anything in 2018, because every time you turn a corner, there are cops everywhere. So it just seems like it's too much of that going on. It seems to pop up, you know, every single week. Now, living here in the Bay Area, I watch the local news, and they're talking about the chickens in Ybor City and how the chickens are a pain in the ass. Since when do we protect chickens? Like, chickens are an important animal. Like I don't want to hear all these animal rights. We got to protect chickens. Get out of here. First of all, chickens are delicious. If they're pain in the asses, shoot them and let's eat them. We'll take them over to Elmer's down there in Ybor City, and we'll throw in the fryer, batter them up a little bit, and we'll have a hootenanny. That's it. But we're protecting chickens now. We in America, we seems like we glorify these animals. As a fisherman, I love to fish. Okay, you're gonna go out in the ocean and have thousands and thousands and thousands of Goliath grouper, which are delicious. They look delicious, and we're gonna protect them so nobody could eat one. So there's people starving in America, and we can't eat a stinking fish on the bottom of the ocean where there's hundreds of thousands of them. I don't know if we're getting smarter or getting dumber. Seriously. So, you know, America, I love the place, man, but I think it seems like we're regressing at times. You want to think that things are improving with race relations and relations towards gay people. It should be getting better. And then they have, you know, the story in Denver where the people who own the cake company would not make a cake for a gay couple that was getting married. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a side in this one. I usually have a side. I don't have a side in this one. If you're a religious person and your belief is that you don't believe in gay marriage, I'm fine with that. I really am. If you're a gay couple and you want to get a gay cake, don't go to a religious baker. Do I believe in what the baker believes? No. I have no problem with homosexuality. I have none. If I was a baker, I would bake them a homosexual cake. Absolutely. But there's no right and wrong here. You know, because one of my favorite people in the world is Tony Dungy. Okay, I've said that many times. I've heard Tony Dungy speak against homosexuality. I'm okay with that because you live and breathe, you know, the Bible. Now, there's a lot of people that use the Bible as a scapegoat and an excuse because they want to pick and choose why, you know, the religious things they want to, you know, support. Tony Dungy's not that guy. Tony Dungy's religious through and through. So I'm okay with that. If this baker was religious through and through, I'm okay with it. Supposedly, they didn't make cakes for anything that they didn't believe in, not just homosexuality. So you got to stand your ground sometimes. And they won the lawsuit, and when it was all over, they didn't have to pay money. They didn't have to make the cake. Is it petty? Obviously not in their world. It was obviously something that was important in the world, important enough to stand up for. So usually I have a side. I don't have a side in this one. I think it's okay for, you know, the gay couple to protest the fact that they didn't make the cake. And I think it's okay for the bakers not to make it. So for once, I'm teetering. Usually I'm on one side or the other. I just don't know what side I'm on that one. Being here in Tampa, you have to have heard of the street racing situation that's been happening. The death on Bayshore, which obviously was unfortunate. These young kids going 102 on Bayshore, which is ridiculous. I mean, you're going 60 on Bayshore, you're flying. As winding as Bayshore is, I mean, you're taking a chance. 102 on Bayshore, and I guess it takes 2 seconds to travel, you know, a football field. So this young lady walking her kid, who I believe was less than a year old, or not much older, but in a walker, in a stroller, gets hit. And I believe they both died, if I'm not mistaken. And these two young kids who, this is another tough situation now, because it's easy, because I hear people saying they should get the death penalty, they should have life in jail. Let's slow down a little bit now, because do I feel for the family? 100%. Do they deserve life in jail? No. They're young kids. We were young kids. We did dumb shit like all young kids do, but it didn't turn out poorly like that. I know of a two or three situations in my life that if it goes 5 inches one way or the other, I might not be here talking to you guys. It doesn't mean I'm a worse person or a bad person. It just made I made a bad mistake. And for 17 or 18 year old kids to be put in jail for the rest of their lives, that's a little bit much. Do they need to spend some time in jail? Yes, no doubt. But there's a lot of people affected with this. There's both families are affected, and the parents of the drivers, I promise you, they're going through a lot of crap as well. None of that's easy for any of these families. So, you know, the police are definitely going to crack down on street racing. I listened to Drew Garabo's show the other day, and there was people calling in and talk about how they have scheduled street racing all over the place. And Drew had a good question, like, well, why are the cops allowing this to happen? If we either schedule things, go over there and bust these clowns. And I saw some, cams on top of cop cars that they pulled over a couple of them the other day. So they're definitely going to crack down on all that street racing, and they need to do that. Now, I want to talk about a new sponsor that I have. It's Blue Chew. You wonder what Blue Chew is? It is a Cialis and Viagra type product. And we all know what Cialis and Viagra does. For those of you that need a little help, and you know what? I'm okay, but we all need a little bit of, we need a little boost. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to rekindle the spark a little bit, and you don't want the hassle of doctor's visits because you can't get Cialis and Viagra unless you go to a doctor. But Blue Chew is chewable, and you do it about a half hour before sexy time, and you feel like a champion, and that's what it's all about. And for a limited time only, you can go to bluechew.com and use the promo code FLAVA. That's FLAVA. And you can get your first little shipment for free. All you have to do is pay first shipping, which is $5, and you get the first shipment for free. I got my free shipment, and we're going to say it works. All right? We don't need to get into detail, but it works like a charm. So go to bluechew.com, and in the promo code, put in FLAVA, F-L-A-V-A, and you'll get your first little batch for free. And then let me know how that all turns out. Maybe your significant other will contact me and thank me. Bluechew.com, promo code FLAVA. So, a lot of other crazy things happening in our world. I watched a documentary the other day. It was Rolling Stone Stories from the Edge, and it was from Rolling Stone Magazine, not the group. And they were going over a lot of the stories from back in the day. And, you know, I grew up in Montreal, Canada, so I was exposed to a lot of the same stuff, but some of these stories I didn't really know in depth, and some of them were fun. Like, first of all, they went from top to bottom with hip-hop, so I think hip-hop is the only thing in the world that I've seen the beginning all the way to the end of it. So, like, I was there at the beginning of hip-hop, and I'm still in it. So there's no hip-hop that I don't know. I don't know if I can say that about anything else in my world. And it's, everybody thought it was going to go away, and it's still around, and it ain't going anywhere. You know, they were talking about the evolution of hip-hop and Ice-T and how he branched off to Body Count. And they were also talking about Britney Spears and how she went batshit crazy for a little bit and how popular she was from back in the day, boy bands. And then they brought up Jimmy Swaggart. And I don't think I knew the whole story on Jimmy Swaggart and how popular he was. We all know how popular some of these evangelists are, the televangelists, and how much money they made. Jimmy Swaggart was making $500,000 a day in contributions and got caught with hoes in, you know, cars and asking them to do freaky deaky stuff while he's up there preaching religion. That would be my problem with religion, all right? You can be up there preaching I'm holier than thou and you're in back alleys doing freaky deaky stuff that I would never think of doing, but yet you're going to tell me that you're religious and I should give you my money when you're driving around and you're flying around in private jets. And then they had that other ass clown who is some evangelist and trying to explain to everybody why he needs his fourth private jet. Kiss my entire black ass. Why do you need four private jets? And he's trying to explain why his third private jet is not enough. That's the part I don't understand. And we have hard working people giving him 10% of their salary, and he's going out and doing whatever. He's up there, you know, in his, got his Rolex watch on, and he has his True Religion jeans on, and he's got his gaiters on, and I just don't know, you know, why that's religious. I have no problem with religion, but if you're doing it right, and private jets and religion, I don't see how they go together. I really don't. And nobody needs four. Listen, P. Diddy doesn't have four private jets. Why does an evangelist need four private jets? Well, the answer is he doesn't. He doesn't need it. And I got my eye on him. I got my eye on all the evangelists, and a lot of people are doing a lot of preaching, because it's just a matter of time before a lot of you guys F up, and you're definitely on the clock. Now, let's touch a little bit of sports here before we get into one Mr. Donald Trump, which I love talking about. As a fisherman, I thought this was beautiful. 40 miles off of Anna Maria, somebody sighted five whale sharks. And as a fisherman, I would love to be out there and see some whale sharks. They had a 26-foot boat, and I guess the guy said the whale sharks were dwarfing the boats. I think it would be eerie, but I think that'd be fun. I think that's something you would remember. And I've been out there in Key West, and I've heard people brag about they've seen them here and there. And one of these days, they'd like to see a whale shark. And then you have people in there swimming with the whale sharks, and that's not something I'm going to do. People like to mess around with wild animals. I don't know much a whale shark weighs, but if a whale shark's having a bad day, I'd rather not be in the water. And if you guys trust wild animals, which I don't, I don't trust a squirrel, a chipmunk, I don't trust any wild animals. And see how that gator reacted to those cops putting him in the that flatbed. That gator was knocking cops out, and he was all bandaged up. He headbutted one cop, whipped the other one on the tail, and tried to get away. So you guys can all mess with those gators. I don't mess with them. Now, if you have a kid in sports, you would hope that they play professional sports as they grow up, because a lot of kids aspire to that. And look at the Forbes highest paid athletes from bottom to top. First of all, soccer players get mad loot, okay? From the bottom, you have Matthew Stafford making $59 million. Matt Ryan, $67 million. And that's because they just signed their deal and they got signing bonus and guaranteed money. That's why that's so high. They don't make that high of a base salary. They probably make $30 million or so, which is not a bad living. Steph Curry, $77 million. And this also includes endorsements. Federer, $77 million. Mr. LeBron James, $86 million, who's about to bow out. Not because of him, just because there's not much help out there. Neymar, $90 million. Conor McGregor, $99 million. Now, he obviously has Floyd Mayweather to thank for that. Without Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor's not up there. And he'll never be up there again if he doesn't fight Floyd Mayweather again. And you never know, that may happen. Ronaldo, $108 million, soccer player. Pulling like a champion, too. Messi, $111 million. And at the top, Floyd Mayweather, $285 million he made last year. I want to say Floyd Mayweather's been at the top of that for years and years and years. I always hear people talk about, well, he's going to go broke. You can't spend that money. That's too much money to spend. When you every year you're making $200 million, you can't spend that money. Floyd Mayweather's kids are never going to be broke. He has that much money. So I guess the moral of the story is put your kids in boxing. I don't know if that's a good idea, though. Like, I remember my son said, I want to get into boxing. And I said, that's probably the dumbest thing I ever heard in my damn life. I mean, if there's one thing dumber than football, and football's pretty dumb. You know, when you're an outsider looking in now, football looks real dumb. And the reason why you play is because you have potential to make a lot of money. And a lot of people say it's for the love of the game. Well, see if those players will play for $50,000 and see how much they love the game then. So, there's only one Floyd Mayweather. There's never going to be another Floyd Mayweather. Nobody's going to ever make that money again because boxing is dying pretty much anyways. All right, let's get to this Donald Trump versus the NFL. Now, I have my own opinion on Colin Kaepernick kneeling back when. Everybody can have their own opinion, and I'm okay with your opinion. If you don't like Colin Kaepernick kneeling, good for you. That's fine. I have no problem with him kneeling. I played in the league for 9 years, went to 11 training camps. If I was playing today, I certainly would not kneel. I'm telling you, I'm not kneeling. Now, if my teammate's kneeling, I may put my hand on him and support him. I'm okay with that. I go to Elmer's and hang out quite often, and there's, military all over the place, and I ask most of them, like when we're talking about the time, I said, what's your opinion? And to a man or a woman, they all have the same opinion. I don't like it, but I support it. So if you're somebody who isn't military, I don't know if you have the right to say, because of the military, he should stand. Because military people aren't saying that. And my problem is, kneeling for the anthem, he never brought up the military at any time. Colin Kaepernick actually went to upper echelon military people and said, what do you think? And he was sitting at first and made him kneel. And they gave him his blessing. They gave him their blessing. Once again, you don't have to like it. But they all say that the reason why we fight is for your right to kneel, which it's your right within the law to kneel. And my problem with this whole thing with Donald Trump, and I have many problems with Donald Trump, but the first problem here with him against the NFL, first of all, he made it about him. It's not about him. It's about, you know, the injustice and the treatment of Black people in America. It's not about the military, and nobody brought up the military. And Donald Trump's making about him, and he's turning people against the NFL players. Now, Donald Trump, you know, some of the Eagle players that were supposed to go to the White House said a long time ago, I ain't going. So, you know, Donald Trump's like that rich kid in the neighborhood that has a good, you know, ball and the nice gloves, and when he doesn't get to play, he takes his gloves and goes home. He's that kid, and that's the kind of kid we'd have beat the shit out of back in the day. We'd let him play to use his stuff, but then we'd beat the shit out of him. But why would an NFL player want to go to the White House and be fake cheesing behind Donald Trump when he called them all son of a bitches and that they should be deported? Why would you want to be part of that? Somebody asked me the other day, would you if you're an Eagle player, would you go to the White House? And I never really thought about it, and I'm not sure I would go. I'm not sure I would go. I think if you go, it doesn't mean you support Donald Trump, but he certainly doesn't support the NFL players. He certainly does not. And that one big-eyed Sarah Huckabee there, she basically said, the Eagles are abandoning their fans. Now, you can say that the White House, you know, this whole thing is off. That's fine. They're not going. But don't try to, you know, don't turn people on the NFL. Who is that helping? We're talking about an American entity that brings in billions of dollars in our country, and you want everybody to stop watching the NFL. How does that help anybody? And for an African American man who is highly established to try to prove a point, you know, in a white world, pretty much, because I could say the NFL is a white world because there's 32 owners and they're all white. So that's a white world. So for an African-American to kneel, to try to, you know, prove a point, and what comes out of it is they're going to make you stand. So 32 white billionaires are going to make you stand. I don't see how that helps relations at all. And everything is separate now. Everything's white, black, it's Republican, Democrat, us, and it seems like we're worried about the Russians and the Koreans. We have to worry about ourselves because we're going to kill ourselves because we hate ourselves. Like when I'm watching political shows, one side hates the other side now. I mean, they really, really hate the other side. And I just don't know if it turns out well. And the whole thing with Donald Trump in the NFL, I predicted on this show that he was not going to invite them. I said that. As soon as he heard that some of them didn't want to go, I was like, he's going to uninvite them in a second. And that's going to happen. And it happened. And I'm not going to be shocked anymore. And, you know, anything he does doesn't shock me because nobody should be shocked anymore. Because when you wake up and you hear a tweet or something he said, it's nothing shocks me anymore. Now, I'm still curious to see what's going to happen with this Kim Jong-un, whatever the hell his name is. But that little get-together, it was off and it was back on. Now it's off and it's on again. I don't know why we're trusting anybody. Like, a year ago, these guys weren't trustworthy, were they? Like, I don't know. I don't know how it turns out. And I don't know how they're going to prove somebody's denuclearizing something. You might go in there and he might just say, "D's nuts. I'm not doing nothing. I am not doing anything." And it's going to be a big chest bumping, my stuff is bigger. And I don't know, especially with the language barrier, how this is going to work out, because, you know, I know Kim Jong-un says crazy stuff. We all know Donald Trump says crazy stuff. So you say crazy stuff and it has to go through a translator, it's going to come out pretty damn crazy. So I can't wait for that dialogue. It's around the corner, June 12th, and I can't wait to hear all that kind of stuff, because at best, it's going to be entertaining, because when you get those two hairdos together, that's going to be a good time. It's going to be a hootenanny. All right. If you guys ever want to email me, you can hit me up at ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. If you want to talk about anything I've talked about today, if you have any football questions, I also have a football podcast, In the Trenches, which comes out every Monday. Numbers are pretty darn good. People like to talk football year round, so you want to tune into that as well. And once again, if you have any emails, ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Once again, I want to give love to Blue Chew. Go to bluechew.com, promo code FLAVA, FLAVA. And get your first shipment for free. Just pay $5 shipping. And stuff works. And other stuff, that the Viagra and Cialis stuff, gives me headaches. This stuff is good. It's good stuff. So you definitely want to try that out. And it's a lot easier. You don't have to mess with doctors and stuff like that. Anyways, I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. This has been Flavor in Your Ear. Everybody have a wonderful week. Go eat something delicious, because I know I'm going to do it. And be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles, and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's here. That flavor
in your ear.
Flavor
in your ear.
Bringing that flavor.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor. Welcome to the show, the owner of the Rusty Nail, Chris Priscilli, also known as Big Daddy.
Yeah, I'm a little Italian who was a great sportsman. Loved all sports, had hair, had a body. In fact, Duff, let me tell you a quick little story.
Go for it.
How my life has gone downhill, okay, by the food that I had consumed and the drink that I enjoyed over the years. You know, I'm a little up in age. In high school and college, I was an athlete, had the 12-pack belly, girls all over me. So I'm down the shore last weekend, walking North Wildwood beaches. It's beautiful. Two couples having a catch with a wiffle ball. The two girls in yellow bikinis are sitting on the beach, and the guy goes to me, "Hey," and he waves the ball and he wants to throw it to me. I'm like, I'm an athlete. I say, "Gun it as hard as you can." So he guns it. I catch it. The girls are like, "Wow, that was a nice catch. Oh my good, good." I throw it back. I hit the girl right in the head.
Nice.
Right in the head, Duff.
Nice.
So I was from the top of the heap back down to where I am.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.